Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast today. Let's get into the message that we started on Monday. Here is, can't get no satisfaction.
Let me tell you something. You want to know why we're moving slow on building a building? We bought this property, and it'll be paid off, I think, next month or the next. And we're moving slow, I admit. We're not burning up the world going out here building a new building. Or moving. Because some months ago, there was just tons of prayer going into it. I was exhausted asking the Lord what to do. Just, you know, you ask Him and ask Him and ask Him, and I didn't feel the Lord saying anything. And now I know why. I felt the Lord very gently speak to my heart that there was a little bit in me that wanted to build a building to show Poplar Bluff how big we were growing. And Jesus likes all the glory. Now, He didn't say it to me at 3 a.m., pull my hair and punch me in the face, and I'm crying and bawling and begging God for mercy. That's not how my daddy deals. He already did that to Jesus at the cross. He'll never do that to you. He pulled His fist back and smacked His Son at Calvary, so He'll never have to do that to you. Praise God. When He ministers to you, it'll be during the washing. Did you know when the shepherd brought the sheep into Him, He took the horn of oil off and He took the lid off and He poured the oil on the sheep's head, and then He put the back on, and then He smeared the oil. And did you know the oil was ointment that got down in the cuts and the sores and healed them? That's how your daddy heals you when you fail. He don't pull the head off the lamb and go, "Ha, ha, ha, I showed you. That'll be the last time you do that, and I'll heal you back." But instead, He pours the oil on and He rubs it in the wounds. You know, the oil was also to keep flies off the sheep. So what He does will not only restore you, but it'll protect you. So that the next time the devil tries that sneak attack, you got the oil of gladness and joy on your heart to protect you. You see it coming now. And it was about around that time that I began to feel going to two services was what we needed to do. Maximize the space we had and let the Lord show me the next step. And that's what we did. And I don't know exactly what the next step's going to be, but I do know that I'm blessed for having went through it. And I think this church is as well. Let me deal real fast with that anointing. If you keep looking for emotion in anointing, you're going to miss the true anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Because I've been in shouting churches and carpet, people falling out on the floor, and you know, I've seen them run down the tops of chairs, jump on the pew and run all the way to the back of the building. I've seen that. Sprint, laps. One peculiar thing that I noticed was that the attention always got drawn away from Jesus and always got put on the runner, which is disturbing. It always got put on the person. People started watching the person. When they walked out of the church, they didn't talk about Jesus. They talked about the guy running the pews. Which is always a bad thing. Jesus is always glorified. Jesus isn't glorified. There's flesh getting involved. You know what was happening? People getting excited. Getting excited. You say, "Well, that was the anointing of the Holy Ghost." No, the anointing breaks the yoke of sin. Isaiah said, "The anointing breaks the yoke." Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me." When Jesus is anointed, it's to break bondages in your life. What true anointing does, whether there's any shout or not, you can shout, you can run, you can get excited. What true anointing does is it makes you leave feeling as if you have been refreshed, fed, comforted, edified, exhorted, and that breaks bondages. When that happens, you won't worry about whether or not everybody shouted or not. You'll know you were in a house where you felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You'll be satisfied with the true anointing rather than just emotionalism. Now, some people get all fired up with Southern gospel music. And some people get all fired up with bluegrass music. And some people get all fired up with country. And some people get all fired up with rock. And some people get, whatever. You get excited because it's what you remember as a kid, or it's the way you like music to sound. Some people get excited when the preacher barks. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you better get right. You know what I'm talking about? That's bark. Some people love hellfire and brimstone. You better get right with God or you're going to get left. You Christians are going to bust hell wide open if you don't start living right. Some people get off on that. They get excited because somebody slapped them. But true anointing, whether it screams, it barks, it rocks, or it's bluegrass, true anointing will show you Jesus. First and foremost. And when you leave, what you'll think of is Jesus. His beauty, His glory, His loveliness. Let me show you real quick what Jesus thinks of you and how He talks to you. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, gentlemen, this is for the fellows. We can learn something about how to love our wives by listening to Jesus. This isn't going to turn into a marriage sermon, but it's a good opportunity to invest in our marriages. Invest in our relationships. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Notice how you're supposed to love her. Sacrificially. It's not always about what you want to do. If it is, you're not going to love your wife like Christ loves the church. Love her like Christ loves the church, and He gave Himself for it, that He might... Now, here's the key. That He might sanctify and cleanse it. What's the it? The church. You and me. That He might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the Word. The word Word in the Greek is rhema, means spoken Word. So Jesus is literally speaking sweet nothings into the ear of His church. And as He does, He both sanctifies and cleanses her. How? Because He washes her over with purity. Now, why does He do it? That He might, 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You say, I will say that stuff to my wife, Pastor, when she lives worthy of it. I will talk to her sweet when she is sweet to me. I will tell her that was good when she does good. I'll tell her she's beautiful when she gets beautiful. And if that's your attitude, it shows me what you think God thinks of you. The man who learns what God thinks of him is easy to turn to his wife and say, you are, without a doubt, the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life. I love you. There is nothing about you that I want to change. I love you just as you are. You are gorgeous, you are special, you are precious, and washes her with His mouth. And look what happens when you do. When you wash her with your mouth, she becomes without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. You don't wait for her to get there. You wash her so she comes out that way. Now, this isn't just a marriage speech. This is what Jesus does to you. Your tongue's not all clean. Your actions aren't all clean. Your thoughts aren't all clean. But He doesn't say to you, when you get it right, I'll compliment you. Instead, He washes you every second He talks to you with purity and beauty and forgiveness and mercy and grace and loveliness. And on the other side of that spiritual bath, your wrinkles are gone. Your spots are gone. Your blemishes are gone. This is why your pastor has an obsession with washing you every service with the loveliness of Christ. Because I know that when you walk out of these doors, you have a chance that you never had before, because somebody told you what God thinks about you. And if you're by internet or you're listening by radio and you're in a place that beats you and punches you, for the love of God, leave. Why would you continue to have somebody show you your imperfections when Jesus is so perfect? I did not say leave and come here. I just said leave. Find a place where they will wash you. There's not just Midland, there's millions of them that will wash you with God's grace, wash you with God's love. What kind of a husband would say to his wife, I will love you when you lose 40 pounds. I will treat you good when you learn how to cook. I will talk gentle to you when you show me some respect. What kind of a man would do that? And if you're that kind of man, the problem that you possess as you sit right here or watch by internet is that you do not know just how much your Father is satisfied with you, and you're taking it out on that precious woman. When you get cut off in traffic by a guy that wants to pull you over and beat you to death with a tire iron, The one you should feel sorry for after you feel sorry for you is his wife. Because she has to put up with that all the time. That's the guy that comes home at night screaming and yelling. Listen, when you get a perception of who God is in you, you pour it out on other people and you don't even have to think about it. And you'll notice that the more you get it poured out on you, the better you live. You'll do the math. If I pour it out on her, she becomes everything that I want. Let me give you another little trick, little tip. Flirt with your spouse. Wives, flirt with your husband. Husbands, flirt with your wife, just like you would if they weren't yours. Let me tell you what will happen. You will get passionate for them if you weren't before. You will get passionate because you are bringing yourself into a state of attraction to them. And you're playing the role of Jesus to His church. Jesus constantly flirts with His church. Constantly flirts with His church. How does He do it? Blesses your socks off when you don't deserve it. Flirts with you. You didn't live up to that blessing. He gave it to you anyway. You didn't earn it, but He gave it to you anyway. He's flirting with you. You say, oh, He's buying you off. Yeah. His grace, undeserved, unearned, unmerited, buys you off. Literally, you see His love as so precious, so pure, so holy, so wonderful. You naturally love Him back. Don't even have to try. You just do. Wash her with the Word. Let me show you one more. You got time? Yes, you do. I'll answer the question for you. Song of Solomon. What a precious book. Now, as you turn there, I want to tell you, if you want to know how to talk romantic and sweet, take some notes from the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a very passionate, very sexual book. Sensual. It's written between a husband and a wife and a husband. It's a type of Christ in the church. And the verbiage that is used in it is very sensual, very sexual. But it's precious and it's beautiful because it's placed within God's design. And this is actually how He wants you to speak to your spouse. So if you want to know how to talk to Him, read Song of Solomon. Now, I'm going to advise you to change some of the metaphors. Okay? Telling her that her temples are like pomegranates, her neck's like a tower. You can do better. Tact and class keeps me from giving you advice on what you could say. Get creative, but use the same spirit of Song of Solomon. Maybe not his words, but use his attitude. Because he wasn't afraid to open his heart. He wasn't afraid to lay it out there. Now watch this. In Song of Solomon, are you there? It's a tough one to find. Chapter 4. If you go to Isaiah, go back one. Okay? If you're still lost, go to Isaiah. That's easy. Go back one. He's snuck in there real little. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 7. This is the bridegroom speaking to the bride. This is Solomon talking to his wife. You are all fair, my love. There is no spot in you.
Thank you for listening today to the message. Can't get no satisfaction. If you'd like a copy of this message, ask for it by the title and we'll send it to you postage paid and free of charge, our gift to you. It's called Can't Get No Satisfaction. Hope you'll be with us again tomorrow. And until then, this is Pastor Paul White reminding you that God is love and Jesus is love.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902. Or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.